Well, the tax credit is frustrating because I think the damage that has been done to the industry is not due to the tax credit being there or not being there. It has to do with the uncertainty associated with the tax credit. So there are mechanisms in the market that can adjust to compensate for the lack of the tax credit. And one of those key items, of course, is the RIN associated with the Renewable Fuel Standard. Because of the uncertainty as to whether the tax credit's coming back or not, you haven't seen a full adjustment in the market. So if, you know, my hope is the tax credit comes back, that it does come back in a fashion that's retroactive to January 1, and that we continue to have it in 2011. If it doesn't come back, I don't believe the industry is dead. I think the industry has to go through an adjustment, and we need to look at those different opportunities to compensate for the lack of credit.
How long do you think it would take for the industry to make that adjustment?
Well, it's interesting because RIN values fluctuate by the day. I mean, RIN values change pretty substantially over just 24-hour period. So there is a real actively traded market for RINs. And because that market has been developed and continues to grow, it could adjust very quickly.
But Lisa, what about the fact that you have oil companies that have sued the EPA right over the fact that they're claiming there's not enough RINs in the marketplace and or biodiesel in the marketplace to cover 2 years of RFS2 mandate? So how do you address
that issue?
I think
the industry has to rely upon truth and information, and that we really have to focus on looking at actual plants, Community Fuels being one of them, that here is a plant that is operating far less than capacity, that is ready and eager to get up to capacity and to expand. And with every gallon we produce, we're generating 1.5 RINs. So the opportunity is there. The challenge that you have is that the obligated parties in general are taking a paper compliance approach, wanting to buy paper RINs by paper versus what you would call a wet barrel approach. They would prefer to buy paper versus wet barrels of product. Well, ultimately, at the end of the day, somebody has to buy wet barrels, otherwise those pieces of paper are not being generated. So I hope that the EPA will look to, you know, our trade association for production information, talk to actual producers like Community Fuels to understand that the product is there, it can be produced, and that if the paper isn't there, it's because the wet barrels are not being purchased. And ultimately, that has to be reconciled. You can't have paper RINs without physical product. And there are steps occurring where you do have obligated parties taking steps to carry physical product. The question, you know, they need to make that move faster so that we get more product into the market. But it goes right back to our topic earlier that some of those obligated parties have been very reluctant to carry biodiesel because of their concerns about quality.
Something with this is, don't you think the biodiesel industry should come together and agree on a certain level of spec?
It's
and then
you read your article.
You know, I never saw it, but I mean, and then you know what I'm saying, like voluntarily come together and create a spec that's even more stringent than you're saying the ASTM and move forward, because wouldn't that alleviate a lot of the concern among a lot of these blenders on biodiesel?
Several items to your comment. Number one, there is a standard that is enforced through biodiesel, and I think it's 48 out of the 50 states have adopted it. Two states, for whatever reason, just choose to be silent on it. So you can only call something biodiesel and sell something biodiesel if it meets the ASTM standard. So if you are a producer or if you are a marketer or a broker and you're selling biodiesel that doesn't meet the ASTM standard, you're violating regulations in 48 out of 50 states. Okay. So, but I agree with you, common practice in the industry, because it has been a boutique industry, has not had the rigorous quality assurance programs that would be typical of major fuel markets. So absolutely, people ask me who our competition is, and I to this day, we've spent 5 years developing this company, and I said this day one, and I say it now, kind of in frustration 5 years later, that our competition remains poor quality product. And when you look at the types of markets that we serve are major trucking fleets. You know, a trucking fleet using our fuel probably is running 200-plus trucks. Quality is important to them. The maintenance impact is important to them. And if they have a bad experience with another product, they get kind of snake bitten, and it is very difficult. We talk about those adoption rates. It's very difficult to get them to try biodiesel again. So we're fortunate. Many of our all of our product is sold in bulk to fuel distributors. We're fortunate that a lot of them will only carry our product. And when they do exclusively carry our product, they have a reliable performance properties that they can market to their customer. But the product is not fungible. Biodiesel, you know, even out of our plant, we can produce a whole range of products that still meet the ASTM standard. We call the ASTM standard a barn door. So we could have product sitting right here on this table that is a community fuels product that you sat out there, beautiful, clear, brilliant product with, is actually a premium diesel fuel. This is better than petroleum diesel. You can have another product sitting on this table that meets that ASTM spec that is completely solidified at 70 degrees and will create significant performance problems even right here in San Diego's mild climate. And that's one of those challenges, is that ASTM is too broad to where it is not an assurance of quality.
Okay, so that was going to be my next question for you was, so that then moves into that next area of criticism, is that ATSM has not put in place the quality issues that they should, and because of that, companies such as yourself have had to go above and beyond.
We had to come up with our own specification. And you see that on our CFA. Mm-hmm. It's, here's ASTM. It's nothing that you, if I'm a fleet manager, I would look at that and say, wow, that's not very meaningful to me. We created the community fuel specification so that our customers could actually market the performance properties of our fuel.
So now, are you, you know, lobbying the industry per se to take their product and raise it to the level of quality of yours? Is making your level of product the standard?
Their ASTM is looking at implementing two different grades of biodiesel next year, and I think that's a step in the right direction, so long as the marketplace understands the different performance properties associated with those two grades. If there isn't enough education on the difference, then it won't have an impact. That we do differently. We have a full laboratory on site that does complete ASTM testing. You can see photos of the laboratory in here. We certify all fuel before we release it for sale. Some of the quality assurance programs that are common in our industry, they recommend kind of spot checking, like periodically having a C of A generated. In my opinion, if you're periodically generating a C of A, you're capturing the issue after the fact. The fuel has already been released. There's no way to magically go back in the market and retract that fuel. So we do proactive certification. So all fuel is certified for quality at our plant prior to being released. Does it take more effort? Did it require us to have a complete laboratory on site capable of doing full ASTM standard testing? Yes, but it's absolutely worth it. We have a flawless track record for quality, and that came from that investment.
Now, I know a lot of biodiesel is standard, but for those companies that have not been able to meet this, as the industry pushes to raise that level of standard with ASTM, what do you tell those other companies? I mean, it's still...
I think they should have the same procedures that Community Fuels has. And what it does, it just adds to their... They need to put it in their production timeline, right? So if they finish production, they need to send it out for outside testing. And for outside testing, you should expect a week. And just have that in your production schedule, that you're sending it for outside testing, waiting for approval, and then you release it for sale. But I think the same types of standards that Community Fuels follows, the entire industry should, because that's the only way that we're going to get our arms around the quality.